Tonight, my sharing, it's not teaching, it's not preaching, it's sharing. Okay. It's based basically on three things. One is a book. The book is called Next Generation Leader. It's written by Andy Stanley from North Point Community Church, Atlanta, the United States. And if you never read it, I really recommend it to you, because it is one of the best book about church leadership I've ever read. The second is I'm going to share what I've learned during last 15 years as the leader of Mosaic Church in Hradec Králové, Czech Republic. And third, what I wish someone had told me when I was a young leader. In his book, Andy Stanley gives five essentials for leaders, like courage, clarity, coaching, character. But tonight, I'm going to share about maybe one of the most challenging thing in church leadership. It's competence. And to work on competence in church leadership. When I was a young leader, I can remember that every Sunday I was the first in the church. And what I did was I put chairs on the place. I said all the other things I maybe shouldn't do, but I had to do, because we were 20, 25 people in the church at that time. So there was almost nobody to help me. So it was natural that I did it. Or it was necessary to did it. And the second thing was that I wanted to set a pace by my own example, that I'm not only leader, but I'm a servant leader. So I wanted to encourage others to follow my example. So I think at the beginning of our church, it was good, but what is natural and necessary at the beginning can be limit, or make some limits and boundaries for effectiveness of leadership. So, for the church itself. So. Honestly, I have to admit that during first years of my leadership, I allowing my time to be eaten with things I shouldn't do because I wasn't good at it. And there was almost no chance to improve in them, because they are outside of my gifts. They are outside of my core competence. And at the same time, I invested only little energy into things I should do that, because I I should invest it or developing my strengths, and I didn't do that. Let me show you something. Can you see it? Well, okay. This part of the line is area of your strengths or core competence. Competence or competencies? Competence. Okay. And this part is area of your weaknesses. Let's say, because it's true, I'm not good at administration. I'm not a good manager of church. My time in office, when I can't study Bible, when I can't prepare preaching or sermon, but the time in the office I have to do some Excel tabs or some money stuff, I hate it. I really hate it. So I may be here as a manager of church. But talking about my communication skills, when I can speak in Czech, preaching, teaching, sharing gospel, sharing the word of God, I'm maybe here. It's not pride. It's I think when we know what our strengths are, we honor God, because we know who gave it, or gave it them to us. So I'm here like maybe like as a communicator, and I'd like to confront one or a myth that we usually believe in church, that we should be balanced as leaders. That when we have some weaknesses, we should invest lots of time and lots of energy, maybe some money to improve them. So what I did concerning management of church, I read lots of books on it. I went lots of conferences, seminars, courses to improve, and I did. After many years, I realized, because I'm not gifted in it, it's very hard to improve in it. So in my quest for balance, to go there with my weaknesses, what happened with my strengths? Because I neglected, that's the word, I neglected my strengths. I didn't invest it any time to be a better preacher, better teacher. I realized after a couple of years, I'm here with my teaching and preaching. This place is not place of balance of our leadership. It is a place of mediocrity. when we neglected our strengths for good reasons, because we'd like to improve our weaknesses, at the end, we will become mediocre leaders. And it's not God's purpose for our life, for our ministry. What's in God's heart is we need find people who can replace us in our weaknesses. So I don't need be better manager. I need to invest some energy to find a man or lady or lady who is good manager, because this is his or her strength. And this is how church can grow, because we can honor God here. So this is place God wants us to be. This is our there. So my question for you tonight is, what are your weaknesses? So whom you shall look for? Is it correct? Okay, look for to help you here. And what are your strengths you should invest in? Let me say one more thing about this. I suppose you know the rule 20 to 80. It's one of the golden rule of leadership, not only church leadership, but leadership. And for instance, it is said that 20% of work or ministry in church is done by 80% of people, and 80% of church ministry is done by 20% of people. But when we are talking about our weaknesses and strengths or competence, we should invest only 20% of our time and energy to our weaknesses and invest 80% of what we have to our strengths, because this is not our place. This is place for the others. I would like to show you what I mean by that. Can anybody read for us a scripture, please? It's about your reading skills. So, somebody with reading strengths.
I'm not doing this because I'm saying I'm not reading.
Yeah. Thank you, Bryn.
Was it going up?
No.
What would you like me to read?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you now.
Some kind of trick.
No. We are reading from the book of Acts, chapter 6. It's a very, very familiar scripture, but I would like to show you something in it. First seven verses. So, Acts 6, from verse 1 to 7.
But as the believers... Is it on? The green light is on. Yeah? But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and are full of the spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word." Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. And so God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too.
Thank you very much. This is the situation in the first church. There are some widows from Gentiles who are unsatisfied with the care of the church. And the apostles had many possibilities how to react. And first, what they did was they said, "No, we ourselves won't do that, because it's for us, it's here. So we need to find, by the leading of Holy Spirit, competent people who can do that." Because it was something very important for church to look after people. But it wasn't task for the apostles. The fruit of their decision was, well, amazing. First, the word of God spread, because apostles preached and prayed. They based their ministry on their strengths. So the word of God spread. Second, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, because they found men for here and they served here. Third, key influencers in the city, we read that the priests, the religious authorities, were converted. Key people for the city were converted because they have some people here, and it not themselves, but other people, and they were here. And fourth, new leaders appeared: Stephen and Philip. Stephen and Philip are among the 7 men they were chosen, and Stephen and Philip became very well known and influential leaders in the first church. If apostles would say, "We have to do that," Stephen wouldn't become a leader. If apostles stayed here, Philip would never become a leader. So that's the other myth in the church, and it's a myth of guilt. Lots of leaders feel guilty when they delegate tasks, or when they ask for help, because they think, I should do that. But apostles said, no, we shouldn't do that, for church can grow. So, let me to quote Andy Stanley, because I like this quote. Delegation will allow someone else in your organization to shine. Philip and Stephen. Your weakness is someone's opportunity. Your weakness helps someone to get here. But what you have to do is to do step of faith from this place to help someone else to shine. It was very wise decision from apostles not to look after widows, and this decision is based on maybe fear of busyness on one side. They didn't want to be over busy. They didn't want to do too much. So my second question for you tonight is, aren't you doing too much? Aren't you doing too much as leader, and you are somewhere here because of it? Tired, unsatisfied? So maybe you can do less to achieve more. You can do less for your church achieve more. What we did a time ago in our church wasn't easy, but it was necessary. We were inspired by Bill Hybels and his presentation at Global Leadership Summit maybe 5 years ago. He was speaking about employees in his church and how to fire people from the church and how hard it is. He draw a line again. And he said that when he sees an incompetent leader, he prays a lot and thinks a lot, and here he puts leaders who are necessary, the best ones. So this is the beginning of line. And here, can I say tail? A tail of line? Is it correct or not? Okay. Worst leaders or employees, and when he needs to do some cut-offs, he doesn't do that here, but here. For us, it was an inspiration to think about our church programs and activities. What are the best? What are the activities that are in line with our vision? And what are maybe good activities and programs but are not necessary and are not the best. So here we put our Sunday meetings. It's something very important for us. There are some churches, they call themselves house churches. For them, Sunday meeting isn't so important. For us, it is. Second, it was home groups. Our church is based on home groups. It's something very important for us to build close relationships, etc. Here, we put worship nights. And it's not usual for churches like we are. We are evangelical charismatic church and we like worship, but what we realized that worship nights is like a service for other Christians in our city, but our main focus or goal is to reach non-believers. So other churches in our city can do worship nights as good as we do them. But we are very good here, so we should focus here. We did some things like, we call it photo show nights. People from the church who experienced some interesting trips or traveling abroad and took some pictures, then they can tell stories. We make coffee, tea, invited people, and it was good, but no non-believers came. Are you laughing? We were thinking and praying maybe 6 months about this line. And after 6 months, we decided to cancel all events or programs that were here because we wanted to do less to achieve more. We wanted to do less to reach more non-believers. We wanted to do less to have more energy for important events, things, programs in our church. My third question for you tonight is, what is in your leadership ministry on the tail? What are important things for your ministry? What you really should do and what it's not necessary for you to do? What is on the tail in your leadership ministry? Maybe last quotation of Andy Stanley, because it reflects this. He said, "I realized that my real value to our organization lay within the context of my giftedness, not the number of hours I worked." It's not about how much we do or we are doing. It's about the area of giftedness, because each of us have individual gifts. Here it's a variety of God's Holy Spirit gifts. So use them. These are your strengths, your, I would say, supernatural strengths. You have some natural strengths, but use your supernatural strengths in your leadership ministry as well. It's not about amount of time, but about your giftedness and about your strengths. Yeah, I would say that's all, because I want you to think about these three questions, and maybe next time when you'll meet as leaders, can discuss it individually. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What's here in your leadership ministry? And yeah, because I can go on and go on with other topics, but I want to be focused. And I think this is one of the biggest challenge in church. And maybe for you tonight, because you can be afraid, you can tell yourself, if I'm going to stop something, what's happening? And maybe the apostles were scared a little bit. So they prayed and the Holy Spirit showed them seven men. Maybe you think we are lack of people in the church. So maybe you can start with prayer and the Lord will show you some people you can't see at the moment. It would be great to finish with something powerful. Ta-da!